certainly encouraged by the presence of each and every one. We do have visitors among us. We're delighted that you've chosen to come our way, and we hope that you'll be encouraged and that you'll return during each and every opportunity that you may have. Before we begin, I'd just like to take a moment to thank Bruce for leading us in that very good prayer that he led us in a few moments ago. I'd like to thank Max for leading us in those very encouraging hymns about heaven, and for helping set the stage this morning for our study that we're going to engage in about some contrast between heaven and hell. Appreciate the very good reading that Steve gave for us there from Revelation 21. I'd like to encourage everyone to keep an open Bible this morning as we prepare to discuss some contrast between heaven and hell. You see, when it comes to man's eternal destiny, there are only two options. There are only two options. Someday, each and every one will spend eternity in either heaven or hell. That's it. That's the only two options. And contrary to the belief of some today, heaven and hell are real places. They are real. They exist. And someday, each and every one will spend their eternity in either heaven or hell. And you want to know something about heaven and hell? They're very different. They're very different. There are stark contrasts between these two places. The Bible speaks of many of them. And we're going to take some time this morning to talk about some contrast between heaven and hell. And I begin by reminding us this morning of the fact that in heaven, one will be with the Lord our God forever. But in hell, one will be forever separated from the Lord our God. You see, as we learn there in Revelation 21 and verse 3 that Steve just so ably read for us a few moments ago, we learn there that as John is giving his description of this vision that he saw and about heaven, that we learn that in heaven, God's going to dwell with his people. We learn that there in Revelation chapter 21 and verse 3. There in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 and verse number 17, as good Bible students, we're familiar with the context there in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. We're familiar with the Apostle Paul writing to the Christians there in Thessalonica not to be ignorant concerning those who have fallen asleep in Jesus. And you remember what he goes on to tell him there in verse number 16 of 1 Thessalonians 4? He says, "For the Lord himself will descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of an archangel, and with the trumpet of God, and the dead in Christ will rise first. Then we who are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air." Now watch this. "And thus we shall always be with the Lord." You see, those who are in Christ, when that great day comes, when our Lord and Savior returns, as we talked about this morning in our Bible study class, it is certain that he is going to someday return. It's going to happen. We don't know when, but he's coming back. It's going to happen. He's going to someday appear a second time, apart from sin for salvation, as we learn there in Hebrews chapter 9 and verse number 28. And when he does, on that great day of judgment, those who are found righteous, guess what? They're going to forever be with the Lord. They're going to forever be with the Lord, and they're going to be with him forever in heaven. But on the flip side of that coin, those who do not know God, those who do not obey the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, guess what? What's going to happen to the unrighteous? Someday they're going to be forever separated from the Lord our God, and they're going to spend their eternity in eternal punishment in hell. Notice this with me there in 2 Thessalonians chapter 1. Open up your Bibles there to 2 Thessalonians chapter 1. Let's begin reading here in verse number 6. Here in 2 Thessalonians chapter 1 and in verse number 6 beginning, the Apostle Paul writes, "Since it is a righteous thing with God to repay with tribulation those who trouble you, and to give you who are troubled rest with us." Now watch it. "When the Lord Jesus is revealed from heaven with his mighty angels in flaming fire, taking vengeance on who? On those who do not know God and on those who do not obey the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. What's going to happen to them, Paul? Well, notice verse number 9. He says, these shall be punished with everlasting destruction from the presence of the Lord and from the glory of His power. When He comes in that day to be glorified in His saints and to be admired among all those who believe, because our testimony among you was believed. Does that grab your attention? It should. You see, we see a contrast here between those who are going to spend eternity in the presence of God and those who are going to forever be separated from the presence of God. The righteous. Those who die in the Lord. Those who are faithful in the Lord will someday spend eternity forever in heaven with the Lord our God. But on the flip side of that coin, the unrighteous, the wicked, those who do not know God, those who do not obey the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, they will be forever separated from the presence of the Lord. And they will be in everlasting punishment in hell fire. That's serious, isn't it? It's very serious. Because as we learn there in Matthew chapter 25 and verse 41, as Jesus gives us a depiction of the judgment there, we learn there in Matthew 25 and verse 41 that He will say to those on the left, depart from me, you cursed, into the everlasting fire prepared for the devil and his angels. We don't want to hear those words, do we? We don't ever want to hear those dreaded words from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Depart from me, you cursed, into the everlasting fire prepared for the devil and his angels. But someday, we're all going to either hear, enter in, well done, thou good and faithful servant, or we're going to hear, depart from me. And if we hear those words, well done, thou good and faithful servant, enter in, we will be one who will spend eternity in heaven with the Lord our God. But if we someday hear those dreaded words, depart from me, we will be one who will be forever separated from the Lord our God into the everlasting fire prepared for the devil and his angels. But another contrast to share with you this morning between heaven and hell. And that is, in heaven there will be light, but in hell there will be outer darkness. Again, there in Revelation chapter 21. Go back there with me, if you will, in your Bibles there to Revelation 21. We learn that in heaven, there's going to be light. And there's going to be light in heaven because the glory of God is going to illuminate it. Did you know that? Notice this with me here in Revelation 21. Let's just pick up reading here in verse number 23. Again, as John is describing what he saw. He says, the city, in reference again to heaven, he says, the city had no need of the sun or of the moon to shine in it. Think about that. In heaven, there's going to be no need for the sun or the moon to give light, for there to be light in heaven. And that is simply because, as we learn, for the glory of God illuminated it. The Lamb is its light. And the nations of those who are saved shall walk in the light, and the kings of the earth shall bring their glory and honor into it. Its gates shall not be shut at all by day. Now watch this. There shall be no night there. Think about that. In heaven, there's not even going to be any night there. There's not going to be darkness in heaven. And simply because of the fact, as we learn here in Revelation 21, God is in heaven. And the glory of God illuminates heaven. Think about that. Think about that. In heaven, as we've just learned, there's not going to be need for the sun and the moon to give light. Because God is there. And His glory is going to forever illuminate it. It forever illuminates it. Think about that. But on the flip side of that coin, in hell, the Bible says, there'll be outer darkness. You see, Jesus uses this expression there in Matthew chapter 8 and in verse 12, Matthew 22 and verse 13, Matthew 25 and verse 30. We learn about this, and Jesus, he uses this expression to define where the wicked will be cast. And he talks about being cast into outer darkness. And you think about that. You think about how in heaven, how heaven is going to be a place of light because God is there and His glory is going to illuminate it. But hell is described as a place of outer darkness. Quite a contrast, isn't it? Quite a contrast. In heaven there will be light, but hell is depicted as a place of outer darkness. Quite a contrast. And you stop and think about why hell is depicted as a place of outer darkness. Think about what we just learned. Because God's not going to be there to illuminate it. Think about that. Remember that. But another contrast between heaven and hell is in heaven, there will be no more tears or crying. But in hell, there will be weeping forever and ever. Again, quite a contrast, right? You see there in Revelation 21, well, we're still there in the book of Revelation 21 and in verse 4. Again, talking about those who's going to dwell with God and God dwelling with His people. And when we read there in verse 4, it says, "And God will wipe away every tear from their eyes. There shall be no more death, nor sorrow, nor crying." Think about that. In heaven, there will be no more tears. There'll be no more tears in heaven. There'll be no tears in heaven. There'll be no crying in heaven. But on the flip side of that coin, in hell, guess what? There will be weeping forever and ever. Again, Jesus makes us aware of this as we learn there. Again, as He informed there in Matthew chapter 8 and verse 12, Matthew 22 and verse 13, Matthew 24 and verse 51, and Matthew 25 and verse 30. Each place there, Jesus reminds us of the fact that in that place of outer darkness, that there's also going to be weeping. It's going to be weeping, and it's going to be forever and ever. You think about how weeping is used as an expression of immense grief. And without a doubt, in heaven, there will be no tears. But in hell, there will be immense grief. There will be weeping forever and ever. But another contrast along that line between heaven and hell. In heaven, there will be no more sorrow or pain, as we learn there in Revelation 21 and verse 4. But in hell, there will be gnashing of teeth forever and ever. Again, in heaven, not only will there be no more tears, but there will also be no more sorrow, no more pain. In heaven, it will be a place of eternal bliss, a place of eternal comfort. But on the flip side of that coin, hell, it's going to be a place of eternal torment. Not only will there be weeping forever and ever there, but there will also be gnashing of teeth forever and ever there. Again, Jesus reminds us of this Himself there in Matthew 8, verse 12, Matthew 22 and verse 13, Matthew 24, 51, 25, and verse 30. In all those places there, Jesus reminds us that this place of destruction, everlasting destruction, this place of eternal punishment that we call in hell and refer to as hell, that there is going to be outer darkness. There's going to be weeping. There's going to be gnashing of teeth. And when you think about gnashing of teeth and how that is an expression of immense pain, you think about that and you think about how Maybe you have at some point in time stubbed a toe as you got up from your bed and sought to get dressed in the morning, and on your way to your closet, you stubbed your toe. I venture to say you probably gnashed your teeth. I venture to say you probably was one who bit down in pain and anguish. And you think about how painful it is to stub your toe, right? You stub that little toe, that little member on your body, but yet your whole body feels it, right? It hurts. It's immense pain and anguish. Jesus tells us in hell, that's what it's going to be like. That's what it's going to be like. There's going to be gnashing of teeth. And it's going to be forever and ever. Think about that. Could you imagine that? Can you imagine that? Can't even begin to imagine how awful and terrible that would be. But that's what we learn about what it will be like in hell from the Bible. And again, what a contrast. From a place where there will be no more sorrow or pain to a place to where there will be gnashing of teeth forever. But another contrast between heaven and hell that we learn about in the Bible is the fact that in heaven there will be eternal rest, but in hell there will be no rest day or night. Did you know that? Notice this with me there in Revelation chapter 14. Here in Revelation chapter 14 and in verse number 13 beginning, John writes, "Then I heard a voice from heaven saying to me, 'Write, blessed are the dead who die in the Lord from now on.' Yes, says the Spirit, that they may rest from their labors and their works follow them." Again, those who die in the Lord are going to be those who are going to forever, someday spend eternity in heaven with Him. And they are those who will have eternal rest. But on the flip side of that coin, in hell, there'll be no rest, day or night. Let's pick back up there in Revelation 14 again and look back there at verse number 10 there in Revelation chapter 14. Before we learn that John says that rest will follow those that die in the Lord, he reminds us here in verse number 10 of Revelation 14, where it says in regard to those who will be found wicked and found to have the wrath of God. What's going to be upon those who's going to have the wrath of God upon them? Notice this here in verse, latter part of verse number 10 and in verse number 11. It talks about how they shall be tormented with fire and brimstone in the presence of the holy angels and in the presence of the Lamb. And the smoke of their torment ascends forever and ever, and they have no rest day or night. That's serious, isn't it? You think about that. Think about being forever in a place to where you'll never find a moment's rest. Can't even begin to imagine. But that's what's going to happen to those in which the wrath of God comes upon. Those who someday will be cast into hellfire. Those who will someday be condemned to hellfire. They're going to be those who will have no rest day or night. You see, I think about this because sometimes I hear people make statements such as, "Well, I only live once, so I'm going to live it up while I can here on earth, because I know that what the Bible says, and if I keep living the way I am, I'm just going to go to hell anyway, so I might as well enjoy it while I can now." We've heard statements like that, right? Sadly, we have. People that make those statements, need to be mindful of the fact that they need to do what they need to do right now to get their hearts right with God and to be right with God, knowing that hell, it is no joke. It's no joke. People want to mock hell. They want to make fun of it. Think of hell as being something that is really not that big of a deal. Something that, oh, I won't know, really know anyway. And you know what? You will know. You will know. It will be, as we talked about, a place of outer darkness, a place where there will be weeping, gnashing of teeth, a place where there will be no rest, day or night. Sometimes I even hear people make the statement, well, my friends or my family are in hell, and when I die, and we're going to go to hell, and we're just going to have one big party. I've heard people make statements like that. I venture to say you probably have even heard people make such statements in the past. Well, you want to know something? Hell's not going to be any party. It's not going to be no party. It's going to be a place of eternal punishment. It's going to be a place of eternal torment. Period. Period. And we learn here in Revelation 14 that in hell there will be no rest day or night. But what's going to happen to those who live faithfully in the Lord and die in the Lord? They're going to receive rest from their labors. But another contrast between heaven and hell. In heaven, one will receive their eternal reward. But in hell, one receives their eternal punishment. Jesus speaks of the eternal reward being in heaven there in Matthew chapter 5. And in the context there in Matthew chapter 5, Jesus is talking about how those who are persecuted for the Lord's sake, how they are blessed. And he goes on to inform those who are being persecuted for the Lord's sake there in Matthew chapter 5 and verse 12. He says, "Rejoice and be exceedingly glad." Why, Jesus? He says, "For great is your reward in heaven." Think about that. Again, our eternal award awaits us who are faithful to the Lord. And we will receive that eternal reward. That eternal reward that is reserved, waiting for us in heaven. As Peter talks about there in 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse number 4. And that eternal reward, eternal life, is that which we seek as children of God. But on the flip side of that coin, those who are not faithful to the Lord, they're not going to receive an eternal reward, but they're going to receive eternal punishment. Again, we learn about this as Jesus gives us a depiction of the judgment scene there in Matthew 25. Turn back there with me for a moment, if you will, to Matthew, the 25th chapter. And notice these words of Jesus with me, just beginning here. And let's just pick up here in verse number 41 of Matthew 25. Here Jesus says, "Then he will also say to those on the left hand, 'Depart from me, you cursed, into the everlasting fire prepared for the devil and his angels. For I was hungry and you gave me no food. I was thirsty and you gave me no drink. I was a stranger and you did not take me in. Naked and you did not clothe me. Sick and in prison and you did not visit me.' Then they also will answer him, saying, 'Lord, when did we see you hungry or thirsty or a stranger or naked or sick or in prison and did not minister to you?'" Verse 45. "Then he will answer them, saying, 'Assuredly I say to you, inasmuch as you did not do it to one of the least of these, you did not do it to me.'" Now watch verse 46. "And these will go away" where? "Into everlasting punishment, but the righteous into eternal life." Quite a contrast there, isn't it? Quite a contrast found here in Matthew 25, verse 46. We see where the unrighteous, where are they going to receive? Everlasting punishment. That's what the unrighteous is going to receive. But But the righteous, what are they going to receive? The reward, eternal life. Again, as we talked about there in 2 Thessalonians chapter 1, verses 8 and 9 a few moments ago. Those who do not know God, those who do not obey the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, they will someday be forever punished with everlasting punishment, everlasting destruction from the presence of the Lord. That's serious, isn't it? Very serious. And we need to be mindful of that. But one more contrast between heaven and hell to share with you this morning. And that is, in heaven, one will spend eternity with God the Father, Jesus Christ, and the Holy Spirit, and all those who are righteous. But in hell, one will spend eternity with the devil and his angels, and all those who are wicked and unrighteous. Think about that. Quite a contrast between the company that you'll keep in heaven and the company that will be in hell. Quite a contrast, right? You think about that. In heaven, God is there. God the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. We learn about that there in 1 John chapter 5 and verse 1. But there are three who bear witness in heaven. The Father, the Word, which is Jesus Christ, and the Holy Spirit. We learn, as we talked about there in Matthew 25 and verse 46, that the righteous, they're going to be in heaven. They're going to receive their reward in heaven. They're going to have eternal life. In heaven, you're going to be in great company. You're going to be in the company of God and all those who are righteous. But guess who you're going to spend forever with? If you hear those dreaded words, "Depart from me," and you're someday cast into hellfire. Think about the company you're going to keep there. You're going to be there with the devil and his angels. All those who are wicked, unrighteous. Again, there in Matthew chapter 25 and verse 41. Those who hear those dreaded words from Jesus, "Someday depart from me," where are they going to be cast? Into that lake of fire, prepared for the devil and his angels. Again, going back to the reading that Steve gave for us a few moments ago there from Revelation chapter 21. Again, notice verse 8 with me. "But the cowardly, unbelieving, abominable, murderers, sexual immorals, sorcerers, idolaters, and all liars shall have their part" where? "In the lake which burns with fire and brimstone, which is the second death." Think about that list there. You want to spend your eternity with such? Cast into hellfire. Those are going to be the ones who are going to be there. Again, we need to be mindful of the fact that there in heaven there shall be by no means enter it anything that defiles or causes an abomination or a lie, but only those who are written in the Lamb's Book of Life. Revelation 21, verse 27. That's where we want to be found someday, right? That's where we want to be found. Because on the flip side of that coin, we learn there in Revelation 22 and verse 15. Who's going to be found outside of heaven? "But outside are dogs and sorcerers and sexual immoral and murderers and adulterers, and whoever loves and practices a lie." Serious, isn't it? Quite a contrast, isn't it? Once more, heaven and hell are real places, and there are great contrasts between these two places. Knowing that, I now ask, where will you spend your eternity? Where will you spend your eternity? What will your answer be? The choice is yours. It's up to you. But as we think about heaven and hell, and as we think about the contrast between heaven and hell, as we are mindful of these contrasts, may we never forget just how beautiful heaven must be. But may we never forget just how horrible and terrible hell will be. Serious. Be mindful of that. And may we always be one who seeks to make the proper preparations for eternity now while we have the opportunity to do so. Being ever mindful of the fact that heaven is a prepared place for prepared people. And maybe there is one here this morning who desires someday a home in heaven, but yet you have not yet prepared yourself for that. Maybe you haven't yet submitted yourself in obedience to the Lord and His will. You have an opportunity to obey the gospel here this very hour, for you have heard the word of God. And if you believe with Jesus Christ, if you believe in Jesus Christ, you can repent of your sins. You can confess Jesus Christ, and you can be baptized into Christ this very hour. You can be baptized for the remission of your sins. You can have your sins washed away in that watery grave of baptism. You can be raised up out of that watery grave of baptism to walk in a newness of life. And you too can have that hope of eternal life in heaven that we've talked about this morning. And may we all always remember the need to always keep on keeping on. The need to continue to remain faithful unto death. For as Jesus promised in the latter part of Revelation chapter 2 and verse number 10, be thou faithful unto death, and I will give thee a crown of life. Maybe there's one here this morning who has already submitted himself in obedience to the Lord and His will, but maybe you've strayed from that straight and narrow path that leads to life. You're encouraged to repent of your sins, confess them to God, ask Him for His forgiveness. Get back on that straight and narrow path that leads to life this very hour. We still have that opportunity to do so. And if you'd like to enlist the prayers of the saints here on your behalf, we'd be more than willing to pray with or for you. So if there would be one here this morning who'd be subject to the Lord's gracious invitation, whatever your name may be, won't you let that need be made known now? You can wait toward the front while I stand and sing the song, Max is Slow.